Are you ready, baby?
Is this thing on?
It is. It is, it is, it is.
I can tell you're jamming.
I am jamming.
I can tell because your tongue is out.
That's right.
That's how white guys jam.
That's my jam.
Yep. They jam and they put their arms up and they kind of shake their arms.
Now you're just making fun of me.
No, I'm not.
How dare you?
I'm just stereotyping.
Yeah, I'm white. This is true.
We don't like to admit it very often.
No. It's not cool, but it is true. Well, welcome back to all 4.9 million of you. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. This is Counting
or
Worms.
Night.
Or night. Yeah, I
morning.
Guess.
Morning.
Could be the middle of the night, for all we know.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so cool.
That would be cool. Just laying in bed with your headphones on, listening to Counting Worms.
Or driving, looking for their next big.
Yes.
I mean, maybe they're waiting for us to catch them.
Ooh.
Maybe they're a perp.
That would be exciting.
That would be exciting. If so, you should let us in on it so that we know that we're supposed to be looking for you.
What if some crazy person goes on a killing spree, and when investigators get to talk to him, he says, well, I listened to this podcast called Counting Worms, and that was the inspiration.
We would go viral.
Oh, my God. That could do it. Yeah. That could take us from our small 4. Private plane.
9.
No, from our private plane to a private jet.
Oh, that would be so cool.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
So this is a very exciting episode.
It is. It's episode number
40.
40, that's 40. Right.
It's a multiple of 10, and it happens to be the last episode of our first season.
It's very exciting. We couldn't have done it without you guys.
We actually have seasons now.
I know. This is going to mean that we officially have a season.
That's right. So yeah. We're very excited. Our lives have changed in oh so many ways.
Yes.
Since starting this podcast.
It has.
When I go to the supermarket and I'm at the checkout stand and I talk, mm-hmm. I can see people turning their heads because they recognize my voice.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's really
still
weird.
Still nobody knows who we are. It's exciting.
It is. So we can maintain a little anonymity, but.
Because still nobody knows.
They don't.
But they will one day.
When
season 2 comes, they'll be like, "Hey, I know who those guys are."
That's exactly
They're just,
right.
You know, actually everyone knows who we are. They just don't want to embarrass us. That's what it is.
I know, they're sweet.
I know, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So this is so make sure you subscribe so that you get our updates.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll be coming back
exciting.
At the beginning of the year with some great new episodes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
But we're already planning them and writing them.
Yeah, and we have a bonus episode that's going to be pretty exciting.
That's true.
I'm really excited about the bonus episode.
Cool.
And actually, as much as we jerk your chains about being famous and stuff, the bonus episode really is exciting. I was telling Scott about it today, and I think he's excited about it too.
I am.
Yeah. So I really am writing that.
So today is a themisode.
It is.
We're closing out the year with a bang. What's the topic today, my dear?
Booze.
Booze.
It's kind of a party episode, so we thought I'd go with booze.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
It is exciting. It's a subject that I'm familiar with.
As me as well, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners are.
I might be more familiar with it than I should be, but,
I think we all have been from time to time.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, we get familiar with this, with our old friend, alcohol.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great song about alcohol.
Yeah. Oh. Is there?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you?
I can't play that. Trademarks and stuff. Oh, I'm talking about my song?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was talking
oh,
about...
Oh, you were talking about... Oh, you're talking about that song, Alcohol
yeah,
song.
Brad Paisley song.
Yeah, Brad Paisley
yeah,
song. That's a good song,
it
too.
Is a good song. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, but I did...
But when he comes on the show,
I
he'll
did,
sing
actually.
It for us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see him next year on season 2.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll hold our breath.
That's right. No, I did write a song, a quick song. About booze.
Yeah.
And so you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right.
I had to leave the room, so I'm excited to
hear
it.
Here we go. A beer at night is a nice way to unwind. But 18 beers can alter your state of mind. Make you believe that you're invincible. Or think that STDs are non-transmittable. Have you showing off on a party boat? just might learn that humans sink and don't float, or woo the ladies with a sweet cake stand. But the ER or the grave is where you're gonna land. Booze makes you stupid. You weren't that bright before, now you're stupid.
Yeah.
You like that, baby?
Yeah, I like that.
Cool. Well, thank you. So
that was a good one.
Yeah. So this these stories are not about how alcohol kills someone, like alcohol poisoning or something.
No, 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 no. We do that over time.
We don't have
that kind of time.
These are just stories that people kick the bucket because they're drunk and they do something stupid.
Exactly.
All right. So apparently we have some worm news to do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do.
Worm news, party time, excellent. Woo, 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 woo. Thank you.
That's awful.
I don't know. I think I'm going to start doing more of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us about worm news, baby. This was your thing.
Yeah, so I made us investigate weird alcohol laws from around the world, because I thought that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we managed, at least I managed to find a couple good ones, and I'm hoping you did too.
And you gave me a few, so I'll read them.
I was going to let you take some credit.
I know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I keep it real.
Well, there you go. I found some good stuff. And okay. But I gave you a lot of them, and I let you pick whichever ones you picked.
That's true.
Yeah, so I don't know what you came up with. But.
Well, let's get through these and see what we got.
Yeah.
You start.
All right. So my first law is one that I would love to see them try to pass in the United States, because I just don't think it would fly. So this first one is, married women can only drink one glass of wine in public.
Huh.
What country is this? Drum roll, please.
Oh, I should have a drum roll. So.
Oh, yeah. Brrr. Bolivia.
Bolivia, really?
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that oftentimes strange laws about booze are written for moral reasons. Hopefully everyone could feel those air quotes and the simultaneous eye roll.
Yeah.
Such is the case in La Paz, Bolivia, where us married ladies can only drink one glass of wine.
But if you're single, sky's the limit.
Oh, yeah. They don't care about that.
Just because
when out in public at a bar, a restaurant, etc.,
right.
Of course, this very important law exists to make sure we, as women, don't make the most unfortunate mistake of having two glasses of wine.
And ooh la la.
And drunkenly flirting with men outside of our sacred marriage vow.
I can get behind that.
I mean, even the perception of acting this way would label us hussies and harlots for life, and how could we live with ourselves? Oh my God. We would probably have to honor kill ourselves to protect our family's reputation.
Probably.
I mean, seriously. Of course, to be very clear, it only applies to women.
Of course.
Because drunk dudes have never, ever behaved like that when drinking at a bar.
I can't. I've never seen
it. I mean, of course not. If anyone knows that, it's the listeners of this podcast. Men never act like idiots, especially after a few drinks. Not ever.
Yeah, except if they're in the range.
Or alive.
Or any other age group.
Or even if they're not drinking.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so.
Well done, La Paz.
All right, Bolivia, out. not moving there.
Yeah. Or apparently visiting.
That's right. So my first one is the connection, I guess, between drinking and making bad decisions is well documented.
I would say so.
And one country takes that very, very seriously. They actually have a law in their books that prohibits the sale of all alcohol on election day. So you can't blame it on the booze. And that particular country is Turkey.
Oh, well, it's obviously not the United States.
No, it is not. Yeah, we've been doing a lot of drinking on election days lately.
Before and after.
Yeah. So that's my first one.
Yeah.
What's your second one?
All right. So my second law seems to indicate that this next country has at least some concern that once people start drinking, men especially, they tend to do things that are a little stupid. Hmm. Although I must admit, I bet there were some pretty funny moments before this became a law. The law is no riding a cow while drunk.
Riding a cow?
That is correct. Hmm. What country?
I don't even want to guess.
Scotland.
Really?
A very old law that is still on the books states it is illegal in Scotland to propel a cow while intoxicated. Now, my thoughts on this is twofold. First, I am imagining these drunken Scotsmen running out into the pastures and challenging each other to cow races, hopping on the backs of these peacefully sleeping bovines and trying to propel them forward. Remember, they are wearing kilts. Yikes. Perhaps the Scots should listen to our episode 13. I mean, cows are known to get even.
They're very dangerous.
Yes, they are. They are apex predators.
Especially when they're being propelled.
I guess don't propel those cows forward if you have been drinking.
Seems like
let them alone.
Well, it's funny because my next one is from Scotland as well.
Oh, maybe we are. Maybe they they are very progressive.
Well, the story says that their body of laws is a strange mix of legitimate principles, outdated traditions, and matching outfits. I thought that was kind of funny.
That is pretty funny.
It's like a blend of civil and common law, which means there's still some regulations on the books that are probably not enforced. And this one is one of them. If a Scotsman is found to be wearing underwear beneath his kilt...
That's a party foul.
He will be fined 2 beers.
Nice.
Now, I don't know who he pays the 2 beers to.
Whoever catches him wearing underwear.
Ah.
That's what I say.
And that's what started the upskirt photography trend. Trying to get some free beers.
So I say we go to Scotland and we run around lifting up their kilts.
Let's do it.
And we just say, hey, look, we saw this. We found out that if we catch you wearing underwear, you have to pay us 2 beers.
Yeah, pinch poke. You owe me a beer. Oh, we have to come up with a new phrase.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with something.
All right, what's your next one?
Okay, my last law is pretty over the top. And I've often said that if laws like life in prison or capital punishment really are not about the convicted, but they're more about deterring crime or an attempt to deter crime. Mm-hmm. And I have to assume that that's the reasoning behind this one, because drunk drivers face a firing squad.
Holy free holy. That's one way to curb it.
And what country is this?
Iran?
You'd think it'd be the Middle East. El Salvador.
Really?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, I can't imagine anyone out there in podcast land that would argue that drunk driving is a great idea.
Right.
Nobody's going to say, what? Everybody should be doing it. We all know it's a hideously stupid thing to do, and it endangers the lives of ourselves, but worse, the other innocent people. Yet, we can't often try to match the punishment to the crime. I mean, even if you are real Old Testament, it would be an eye for an eye. So to potentially face death by firing squad, even on a first offense,
jeez,
for some drunk driving, that is harsh. Of course, on the flip side, I'd love to know the statistics for drunk driving arrests after this law was passed.
Before and after.
Because maybe drunk driving arrests have been reduced to zero. I mean, we don't know.
Might be effective.
We don't know.
Well, my last one is about beer cans.
All right.
Ever since there have been beer cans, there have been plenty of drunk people finding new and interesting ways to crush them.
That is a fact.
and a seldomly enforced law in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Was brought to light when a woman there discovered that she could crush beer cans with her breasts.
Rock on.
You remember that World's Dumbest where the lady was breaking watermelons with her?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that was so horrifying to see.
But she was, and now it says that citing this seldomly enforced law, the woman was promptly fined for doing this. So she was fined, but not imprisoned or firing squad. So
that's good. That is good.
Yeah. So anyway, there's an interesting look around the world.
Yeah. So, babe, before we move on,
yeah,
I have a little quiz for you.
Okay.
It is called What State?
Okay.
Okay. Now, the last time I gave you a quiz, you did not.
I understand.
You did not understand the rules. On this one, all you have to do is guess what state in the United States has this law on the books.
Okay.
Regarding our good friend alcohol.
Okay.
So you should do awesome.
Yeah.
You have a 1 in 50 chance on every single one.
True.
Actually, that's not true. I'll give you a clue. I only use each state one time.
Okay.
So your odds get better with every single question.
Okay.
And if you listen to the question, there might even be clues.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. This wilderness state has a law making it illegal to give a moose a beer. And I suppose even if they ask really politely.
I'll say Maine.
Alaska.
Damn. That would have been, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
The wilderness state.
Oh, is that the name? You're giving me the motto too?
No, I'm not giving you anything.
Okay, I blew it.
I told you to listen carefully.
Next.
This friendly state says you can only chug while seated. By law, if standing, you can take no more than 3 pulls at a time from a beer.
That would be Nevada.
That would be Texas.
Oh.
The friendship state.
Oh.
Tejas.
Yeah. That's what
Texas.
The friendship state.
That's right. Okay.
All right. How am I doing?
You're doing great. You are killing it.
Okay, good.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Next.
So, this square state considers horses vehicles and therefore has a law stating no drinking while riding one.
Well, square, I don't know if there's any states that are actually square, but there's a few rectangles in the bunch. I'll go with Colorado.
You got it. You nailed it, buddy.
Thank you.
Number 4.
Mm-hmm.
These aviators are worried about the water and passed a law making it illegal to give alcohol to a fish, just in case you ever plan to.
Hawaii.
Ohio, the aviator state, where the Wright brothers were
I didn't
from.
Know that one.
Number 5.
Yeah.
You may vacation to this state to see the historic bourbon distillers, but you will find they are located in dry counties, and it's illegal to actually purchase alcohol there.
Well, it's one of two. I'll say Tennessee.
Kentucky.
Yeah, that was the other one. Damn it.
And number 6. Finally, this salty state marks up alcohol 88%, makes it illegal to bring any alcohol in from anywhere else. The state runs all liquor stores, and kegs were banned ages ago.
Utah.
That's it.
Thank you.
So you did pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. Well, thank you for that. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Shall I begin our festival here?
Yeah,
festival
of booze? Since we live in Texas, so now we know we have to jug sitting down.
I don't think it's enforced.
Yeah.
All right. So my first story is about a booze cruise.
All right.
Now, who doesn't like a booze cruise?
Really? Right?
You.
Me,
yeah.
That's true.
You don't like booze very much, and you don't like cruise.
Hey,
you don't like boats.
I don't like, I gotta say, I get a little seasick.
That's right. So
I like a good port wine.
I know you do.
Yeah, I love a port wine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
All right, so this story takes place on a booze cruise in Boston Harbor.
Mm.
It was a tropical luau cruise theme, and it was called Get Laid, L-E-I apostrophe D. You get it? Mm. The pun there?
Mm-hmm.
It departed Boston Harbor at 7 p.m., and it was a bunch of people, primarily those in the range, who are getting lit up and they're
imagine
dancing.
That.
I know, dancing
people
and having
getting
fun.
Get laid.
Hoping to get laid, etc. So enter 21-year-old Aaron DiBella.
Okay.
First of all, he's got three factors working against him. Number one,
he's on a booze cruise.
Well, he's in the range. That's
yes,
my
that's
first
true.
One. Secondly, he's heavily drinking.
Yes.
And thirdly, invincible.
Of course.
That all kind of summarizes the range.
Yeah.
The male in the range.
Yeah.
So he walks up to a railing with his friends and girls watching.
Oh, yeah. The girls watching. That does it.
Yeah, that would do it. So he does something akin to a vertical push-up. He goes onto the rail on the edge there and does a vertical
push-up. Look at how fabulous I am.
Exactly. So crew
showing off, ladies.
Exactly.
He's peacocking.
That's right. So crew members see this, and they order him down and get him off the railing.
God,
told him to stand down.
Golly, they're such jerks.
And in a statement by the ferry company,
mm-hmm.
this is foreshadowing, I think you call it.
Yes.
Although the passenger initially appropriately responded to the warning of the crew member and climbed back down onto the deck,
mm-hmm.
when the crew member turned to go back into the interior of the vessel, the passenger started in on even more dramatic forms of dangerous play.
Tomfoolery,
in other words. One of his douchebaggery. One of his close friends since childhood, his name's Matthew Allman, 21, also in the range,
mm-hmm.
said that DiBella had decided to, quote, joke around.
Oh.
And then he goes on to say, he thought it would be funny to sit up on the side and pretend as if he was going to hang off the side of the boat.
Oh, that is funny.
When he did that, he slipped and fell over.
Wah, wah, wah.
So everybody panics. The crew informs the bridge,
well, maybe
man
he was
overboard.
Just pretending.
No, he wasn't. He was in the water. And you know, it's a little chilly up there.
In Boston?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So the ship turns around and they find him about 15 minutes later. They got the spotlight on him. They tossed in several life preservers. Even a crew member jumped in to try and get to him.
Oh,
and he got within about 5 feet of him, and then down he went, never to resurface.
Mm.
Until the rescue crews found him a few hours later. And
ooh,
the divers
that's
found
a problem.
Him. Yeah.
Rescue divers.
So his friends are saying that the ship and crew reacted slowly to the man overboard call. But the Coast Guard said that when they received the report, quote, they launched all of their assets from Station Boston, Station Port Allerton, Coast Guard cutter Key Largo, and Air Station Cape Cod actually launched their helicopter, as well as all of their partner agencies. So everybody was involved, scuttled, looking for this kid, and now he is counting worms. So what's
perhaps,
the moral of that story?
Perhaps his friends don't realize it only takes 3 minutes without oxygen to die.
Yeah.
3 minutes is not very long.
Right. Well, some reports say he was treading water for this whole time, and some of them are saying that he went in and went down and they never saw him again. So I don't know. But I think in the cold water like that, your chances of survival go down.
Very low.
And the amount
your
of time.
Your muscle seize up.
Right. The amount of time before you start losing it shrinks down. So
yeah, cold water is more dangerous.
If you're going to do vertical push-ups, I guess, don't do it on the railing of a boat out in the middle of the harbor.
Yeah, yeah.
As a general rule.
Vertical push-ups are better done against a wall.
Yeah. Yeah,
on the inside.
Yeah, don't be stupid.
But do you know what else impresses girls?
What?
Anything but that.
Anything but that. All right. Well, there's my first story.
All right.
Not very funny, but it was...
Oh, no, that's pretty funny.
You think so?
I think it's great.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, press on.
I would have been impressed. I'd have been like, woo! Splash.
Jeez. You're a mean one.
No, I just would have been like, I'm writing this down. Are you getting this, babe?
Yeah, we can use this.
Yeah, we can use this. Interview that guy. That's his friend.
Jeez.
So my first story takes place in Spain, and it's been a while since we talked about Spain. So hola, España.
Hola.
So hola. My article comes from the BBC, and I just love the way things are worded. So a holidaymaker.
Holidaymaker. What is that?
Holidaymaker. And that is one word. Somebody going on vacation.
Oh.
Yeah, a holiday.
A vacationer.
Yeah.
A holiday maker. Interesting.
I think we should.
They do have a way of saying. I have something in my next story about the way they say things, but go ahead.
I love the way they say things. A holidaymaker, and that's one word, was there with his mates.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
When he ran into trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's not so lovely. Andrew Lewin, 18.
Range.
Squarely in the range.
Right.
Was out drinking all night with his buddies, and they had really enjoyed a very long, long night. So it was the very early hours of July 29th in 1997 when the teenager left a club, and he was very, very drunk. When he and his friend reached his hotel, his friend decided to just leave Andrew in the car to sober up a bit, as he was completely passed out and a wee bit hard to manage being out cold. You know, just a little too heavy as a sack of potatoes to try to carry all the way up to the room.
Sure.
And that said, it was a very safe area, and they were right there at the hotel.
Okay.
So, he didn't see any harm in it. What was not realized was this was one of the hottest months in the south of Spain, and this particular day that would be sun rising would be the hottest one day in particular. The temperature at 7 a.m. was 21.6 centigrade, or 70.8 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's not so bad.
That would be outside. And by 1 p.m., the outside temperature was 30 degrees centigrade, or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Andrew was found shortly after 1:20 p.m. The temperature in the car, however, was 50 degrees centigrade, or 122 degrees Fahrenheit. And Andrew was counting worms.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought he'd just lose some weight.
No.
Like a sauna.
Yeah, remember, alcohol is very dehydrating already. And you got to think of that whole greenhouse effect. You know, the sun coming in, beating down on you through the windows.
What did he actually die of? What was the cause of death?
We'll get there.
Okay.
The best part of the story was that the coroner, Edward Thomas, said he would ask for the Department of Health to include the findings in travel advice. Okay. I'd be interested in seeing exactly how you word that in a polite and politically correct way. Mr. Thomas said the message of just how hot vehicles can become when left in the sun needed to be reinforced because of the dangers they presented to anyone left outside. He went on to say, and I quote, "We know about children and pets, but adults are just as vulnerable if they're unable to get in or out themselves."
Oh, Lord.
Well, I, for one, am so glad he clarified that for us. I was absolutely certain that only babies and pets got hot if they were left in cars. But now you know. If you leave other things in a hot car, they get hot too.
Yeah.
We live in Texas, and they tell us all the time that you can't leave babies or a pet in a hot car.
I know, they're so strict.
But they don't ever say you can't leave other people.
That's true.
They never tell us that. And if I had not read this story, I would not have known.
No. Me neither. Well, that's good. So we're doing kind of a public service right now.
That's what
for everybody in the audience.
So you can't leave other people.
Can't
either.
Leave your buddy.
You can't leave other people.
Your drunk buddy in the
no
car.
No drunk buddies either.
Oh, what was his name?
Andrew.
Oh, sorry, Andrew.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right.
If you get so drunk you can't walk.
Yeah.
And you pass out.
Don't pass out in a car.
Yeah.
Pass out outside in the bushes.
Yeah.
Like a normal person. All right. Well, my next story, I'm going to be going to jolly old England.
Oh, good.
In the town of Lancaster.
Oh, we love Lancaster.
In northern England. And there lived a gentleman with a glorious name.
Oh, tell me, please.
Brian Woodcock.
Oh, that is... I would imagine you would love that name.
And apparently Woodcock had a bit of a drinking problem.
Mm.
He liked his pints.
Good. Good for him.
His niece, Kavina Nicholson,
ooh,
told the court, foreshadowing,
yes,
that she had seen her
like
uncle.
An inquest, guys. And you know I love those.
They're great. Told the court that she had seen her uncle near the bank of the Loon River, which kind of runs through the mm-hmm. middle of Lancaster,
yes,
earlier that afternoon. He had told her of his plans to cross the river.
To cross it.
Mm-hmm. She said, he told me he was going to have a pint and then swim across the river to have a pint at the pub on the other side of the river.
Oh, good.
I told him not to be so stupid and get a taxi home, but he started laughing at me, and that was the last time I saw him.
And I started laughing, too.
So 45-year-old Woodcock, and he's really on the outer fringe of the range. You know, that's pushing it.
Well, he's male, though.
He had been drinking heavily at a riverside pub called the Wagon and Horses. That sounds like a nice
English pub,
doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
When he decided to swim...
Either a nice English pub or a nice Texas pub.
Yeah.
Could be in Fort Worth, Texas, too.
All right. So he decided to swim to the opposite bank. So he took off all of his clothes.
I bet that river's nice. He took off all of his clothes.
Took off all his clothes. Well, you don't want him weighing you down.
Yeah, or getting wet.
Right. And so he started across, and not halfway across the river. And it's not a huge river, but I looked at a map, and I'm going to guess it's 70 to 80 feet wide.
That's pretty big when you're naked and drunk.
Right. Before he hit the halfway point, he started having some difficulties.
He was tired.
His friend, who also has a cool name, not as cool as Woodcock, but Petter Bro. Petter, P-E-D-D-A-R. You ever heard that one?
No.
Petter Bro. He tied himself to a rope and jumped into the water trying to save Woodcock. And when interviewed, he said, I heard Brian order in a drink. Then I heard him say he was going for a swim. He took off his clothes and dived into the river. Within a couple of strokes, you could see that he was getting into difficulties. And scene.
I felt like I was there.
I know. Pour me a pint.
Yeah.
So eventually, Petter, he managed to get a hold of him and drag him to the banks of the river. And
got a hold of the cock?
Yeah, he grabbed the cock. They called him the cock. I mean, that was his nickname.
That was his nickname.
Right.
Or Woody.
So he grabbed a hold of the cock and made it over to the bank. And the following statement from the British press crystallizes why we love the Brits so much.
Oh, good.
Now, when I said I love the way they phrase things, I was talking about English folks. You were talking about Spain. But maybe they have the same European
flair. Oh, no, it was
flair.
I'm sure that was a British person.
Oh, I see. Well, here's
It was the BBC that
came there we
from,
go. Okay, so. Then that makes sense.
Yeah.
They said, quote, he then battled to save his friend, giving him a heart massage and the kiss of life until emergency services arrived.
That's
isn't that cool?
Fabulous.
That is fabulous.
We call it CPR.
But despite everyone's efforts, Woodcock went limp and was counting worms.
Oh, despite his broke giving him the kiss of life.
I know.
Right on the woodcock?
No, not on the wood. I think on the lips, maybe. I don't know. They didn't go into that. His sister, Lynn Hunt, spoke at the coroner's... Lynn Hunt. Hunt,
oh,
baby.
Sorry.
Hunt.
I'm listening. Sorry.
Spoke
I
at the coroner's inquest and said that he had previously tried to swim while drunk. In fact, he had jumped into the Lancaster Canal after a funeral just the week before. So
he's a naked drunk swimmer.
He is. So here's the final sentence of this, and this is a statement from the assistant deputy coroner, Carolyn Singleton. Mm-hmm. She recorded the verdict of an accidental death, and she said, quote, "The evidence I have heard is of a man who had a drink problem and who did not appear averse to taking his clothes off and going into the river." And I think she nailed it right there.
I think she nailed it, yeah. So, she seems to be jolly on the spot.
Right, and so Woodcock down.
Yeah.
Sorry, man, about that. That is sad.
That is very sad. The world lost somebody that it needed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every comic town relief. Every town needs a Woodcock.
Don't they?
Seriously. I mean, that's the kind of town drunk that we all need.
We have one here in our town.
We do?
Yeah.
right now, guys, Scott has his finger and he's just pointing to himself repeatedly.
All right. Now. You don't need to go into that.
Yeah. All right.
What's your next story, honey?
Okay. So I don't want to feel like the Brits to feel like we're picking on them.
But
I'm going to start off by asking you, do you know what a shelf stacking trolley is?
Shelf stacking trolley. I guess it would be like a truck that brings, like the Hostess truck that brings supplies to the grocery stores and they stock the shelves with it.
It's a shopping cart.
Oh. What is it called?
A shelf stacking trolley.
Huh. All right. I love those Brits.
I know. Isn't that cute? I thought
else.
It was great.
There's something else. All right.
Sorry, Brits. I'll be calling it a shopping cart. But it will
here they call it something else. They call it a buggy. A lot of people call it a buggy.
A lot of people in Texas call it a buggy. Yeah, that's true.
They call it that in Oklahoma, too. Yeah.
So, deep south.
Yeah.
Deep south, it's a buggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, Martin Fidler was a 22-year-old.
In the range.
In his final year of classes at Bournemouth University in Dorset, United Kingdom.
Nice.
It's located basically on the English Channel, halfway between London and the Celtic Sea.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
Sounds really nice.
And cold.
And very cold, yeah.
Okay.
Very cold, very nice.
Right.
It was 2005, and Martin had been out all afternoon drinking at the Student Union Bar to celebrate the end of Easter term.
Oh.
Yeah. So his friend said he drank 6 pints of lager in 3 bottles.
Yeah.
Hey, he wasn't stumbling around or anything. He was just really loose and having fun.
Right.
So was everybody else.
He was buzzed.
He was buzzed, yeah.
Right.
At around 6 p.m., they were all headed back to their dorms when they discovered a, what was it called? A shelf-stacking trolley.
Right.
Right. Or a shopping cart or a buggy, depending on where in the world you're from.
That's right.
I'd like to know what the Aussies call it. Can you guys tell me, please? Mm-hmm. We're going to give you our contact information at the end. So there'd be 100 ways to contact us at the end of this. So stay tuned. Don't wig out on us. Stay to the end. So around 6 p.m., they're headed back to their dorms when they discovered their buggy, their shopping cart, in all its glory behind the library on campus. And this looks way too good to pass up. Because they've all been a little bit greased, you know.
Greased, all right.
Yeah. So two of the friends pushed it to the top of a very large hill.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And those two friends decide to jump in it.
Yeah.
And it began to roll. Yeah. Then a third.
Third jumped in?
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice.
And as it began to gain speed, Martin jogged along the side of it and jumped on the side with his back facing down the hill.
Oh.
At one point, the group sees a car and actually manages to swerve away from it.
Really?
Yes. Imagine how impressed they were with themselves.
I'm impressed.
All while they gained more and more speed.
In a shopping cart.
Or a buggy.
Or a trolley.
Or a shelf stacking trolley.
Right. Okay.
It's estimated that they made it to around 20 miles per hour. Before the trolley or shopping cart or buggy slammed into a curb and overturned.
Oh, no. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, nobody did. Nobody saw it coming. They were too busy going, woo!
Isn't this great? Nothing could happen
we're
to
king
us.
We're king of the world! And, of course, when it overturned, all of the boys toppled out.
Right. And laughed.
And laughed and laughed. The other boys all testified at the inquest.
Oh, no.
Which we know that I love. That everyone seemed to recover with just a few bumps and bruises and scrapes, all laughing and getting to their feet, thinking it was a silly drunken thing for sure, but, quote, sort of seemed right at the time.
Right.
And then they all realized that Martin just was not getting to his feet.
And
then he was kind of in and out of it with a little bit of blood coming out of his nose. So they called for help, and an ambulance took him to Poole Hospital, where he died from bleeding on the brain.
Oh, no, Martin.
And I am incredibly disappointed to say it was ruled an accidental death.
Oh, no.
Martin,
he was robbed.
He was robbed. That's what I wrote that down. He was robbed. How was this not death by misadventure? You rode drunk down a hill in a shopping cart? I demand a recount.
I know. Seriously, that's a ripoff.
He was screwed. He was screwed.
Maybe it's not as important to them as it is to you to get that on your death certificate.
I mean, I don't know who. I demand a recount.
Wow. Whoever. I don't know what's sadder, that he died from a brain bleed or they mislabeled his death certificate.
I mean, it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Oh, my God. Now I've got to put that little check mark by the explicit language box.
Sorry.
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 Oh, Martin. All right.
I can't believe it. He was cheated. How, and now forever, for all of eternity, he was cheated.
Yes, he was.
I demand a recount.
Well, my final story for the season.
Oh my gosh.
It's a story that you will all be familiar with.
Oh.
Well, most of you, if not all. So I want you all to close your eyes.
Okay.
Try to remember when this exact scene played out in your life.
All right.
Okay? All right, here we go. Set the scene. Nighttime. You're out drinking.
Okay.
Okay, so far so good. One Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
You're buzzing around from bar to bar.
All right.
Pretty soon you're very, very drunk.
All right.
All right, so far I think we've got everybody on board. Okay, so now you're ready to go home. And you start walking. And you decide to take a shortcut through the town cemetery. Now, who hasn't done this?
Right, right, right. My parents have.
Yeah, that's right, they have. And as you're walking through the cemetery, you get the unstoppable urge to pee. Because you've been drinking all night, right?
Oh, no. Okay, sure.
So for our male listeners, you would probably just lean up against a tree or a tombstone or something and take care of business.
Right.
For our female listeners,
it's a little more complicated.
A little more complicated. You got to pull down your pants and balance yourself and then let it rip. We've all been there, right? I mean, seriously.
Sure.
All right. So this particular story is about a lady by the name of Anaïs Gloreau.
No.
God, what accent was that?
I'm not sure what that was.
Anaïs Gloreau. She was 33 years old. She's from the northern Belgian town of Poulet. I don't know. P-U-L-L-E. How do you pronounce that? Poulet. I'll go with Poulet.
It sounds like you're
Shall
speaking.
Shall I whip out my best Belgian accent?
Yes, please do. I'd like to hear Belgium.
It's from the... She is so bad. I don't know what a Belgian accent sounds like.
We've only been there.
I'm not going to. I know, but I didn't take note. They all speak English.
That's true. They all speak like four languages.
I'm not going to do an accent unless I'm proficient at it.
Like the British.
Like the British and the Australian.
Yes. They sound
just dare like you. The Spanish. How dare you? All right. So she had been out bar hopping with several of her closest friends. She's sufficiently plowed. She takes off for home. So she lives close. She's being responsible. She walks home.
That's right.
Okay. And she, like all of us,
that's right,
decided to take a shortcut through the cemetery.
Right. Like we've all done, as you put it.
And she, like all of us, gets that sudden and urgent call of nature. And so she drops her pants. She crouches down between the gravestones to relieve herself.
Oh.
Quite a picture, right?
Yeah, that is a picture.
Apparently, her actions offended some of the spirits in the area. They didn't like the fact that she was peeing all over their final resting places.
I don't blame them.
And maybe they decided to give her a little payback for this one. So as she tries to stand up after finishing, she loses her balance. She reaches up and grabs one of the tombstones, probably one of these tall ones, and holds onto it for, you know, her balance, and it comes loose and falls on her on the ground. And according to the public prosecution's office, which originally investigated the death as a possible murder, she died of suffocation after being unable to lift the stone off of her. So, peeing in the cemetery, loses balance, reaches for the tombstone, it falls on her, and she dies of suffocation. I believe they call that positional asphyxiation.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, so Anaïs Glorot
is gone.
Yeah, adios. Sorry about that, Anaïs. Don't pee in a graveyard. That's the
moral of that story. Yeah, that's the moral of that story.
All right. So press on. What's your final story of the season?
Well, you know, you can be any nationality and be on this show. In fact, you can be born in the grand old U.S. of A. and be on our booze show.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. In fact, this giant of a man named Gerald the Yank Galen was born in Illinois.
Hmm.
But that did not stop him from trying to keep up with the Irish when it came to drinking games.
Okay.
Which we will learn became his downfall.
Uh-oh.
And perhaps down and fall are two of the key words here.
I see.
That is called foreshadowing. Yes.
It's a clue.
It's a clue.
Okay.
Gerald is exactly what we would expect, of course. He was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And we should give prizes or something, you know, because, yes, he is in the range. And for you boys in the range in particular, there are many things you can do to impress the ladies. You can bring them flowers, compliment the way they look or how smart and funny they are. You could be a good listener. Oh, God knows you can't. None of you can do that. I could go on, but Gerald had some of his own ideas. And Gerald could come up with a party trick that he knew impressed men and women alike.
I love party tricks.
Oh, yeah. Party tricks are the best.
All right. What was it?
He could grab a full keg of beer and swiftly lift it over his head like a beer god.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like a reverse keg stand.
Yes. Now, tell me that would not make all of you bow down and admire him.
I mean, it's not like doing a vertical push-up on the rail of a boat, but it's close.
But it's close.
Yeah, it's in the same ballpark, same sport.
So here he finds himself in Castlederg, Ireland.
Nice.
And Scott, we have some pretty unique experiences ourselves in Ireland with boys in the range.
Yes, we do.
We met quite a few of them.
We did indeed.
And these pubs are full of wonderful opportunities for all kinds of stories.
And shenanigans.
And shenanigans. And maybe, just maybe, if you guys in podcast lands are lucky, we will tell you some of ours. But this one is about Gerald. So Gerald is keeping pace with the Irish, and he decides to show off his best party trick.
Mm-hmm.
A few strong beers down, maybe not realizing they build their beers a little differently in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
the full keg up in the air, he decides he's going to pull off his party trick.
All right.
So a few strong beers down, some solid liquid courage, and he grabs that full keg and he swiftly lifts it over his head. The full keg is up in the air as he promised the pub it would be.
Mm.
Wow.
That sounds impressive.
Mm-hmm. But that's when something goes terribly wrong.
As it always does.
As it always does. That's when his arms buckle, sending him falling down, crashing, and of course, the keg. The keg had no choice but to abide by the laws of physics and to follow. Damn gravity. So it hit the softest surface it could, Gerald's head.
Uh-huh.
And Gerald was gone.
Oh, no. Party foul.
Yeah. That's what we call it if you abuse alcohol in the state of Texas.
That's right.
I'm not sure how the Irish list deaths. Perhaps we can go back and see if someone can tell us. Or we have had some downloads from the Emerald Isle, so maybe they'll email us and let us know. But either way, Gerald is now counting worms.
Oh, no.
He is now lifting kegs in the sky.
In the sky. Oh.
But I'm sure it really impresses the angels.
You know, it reminds, this whole topic reminds me of that one story that you did. I can't remember what show it was, but it was about the guy who was standing at the window going, "Hey, ladies, who wants a piece of this?"
Yeah.
And then he fell onto
the
iron fence. That was a good one, too.
That was a pretty good one.
Well, that was a good story. That was a fun episode.
Isn't that good?
So
yeah.
What should we learn? What's the takeaway from this?
If you can't hold your liquor, then make someone write it down so that we have it for our podcast.
All right, and use your full name.
Yeah, use your full name.
In the story.
Send us a FYI. Get us a heads up or something. Come on. I mean, we need stuff for our show.
That's right. Material.
And make sure that if you're going to do something stupid, you send it to us. Our email address, everybody. Our email is countingwormspodcast@gmail.com. That's how easy it is to get in touch with us.
Yep.
So if you have show ideas or you want to tell us how we really flubbed it up whenever we pronounced the name of your city or the geography or whatever it is, or you got a great show idea, or you want to be a guest because you have a really great hometown that you want to tell us about, you did something really stupid.
Yeah.
But we want to hear
somehow survived.
Yeah. Like you're an honorable mention.
Or you knew somebody who was really stupid who did something and died.
Yeah.
That would be good too.
Yeah.
As long as it's funny.
If you're a good storyteller. Or if you're a policeman or EMT,
yes.
And you got some great stories, we want to hear them. And whether you want to email us that or whether you want to talk to us, we want to hear about it. So that is counting, countingwormspodcast worms@gmail.com. Worms Counting is our Twitter handle. So,
yeah, we got screwed on that one.
Yeah, that was me. I didn't know what I was doing. I told you guys, we're kind of new at this whole social media thing. And then counting_worms_podcast is our Instagram.
It's counting worms podcast, but underscore in between the words.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not so bad.
And then we do have a Facebook page. And we have been putting stuff on and it's been kind of recent, but we have been putting stuff on Twitter and Instagram.
And by we, she means her.
Yeah, but we're getting better at that. And by we, I mean us.
How dare you?
How dare you? And
I'm the idea man.
I got an idea of what's going to happen to you if you don't shut your yapper.
Okay.
I'm going to get the beating stick out. Would somebody send me a beating stick? I need a new one. I broke it over his head. So anyway, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. countingwormspodcast@gmail.com. The couple people we've heard from, it's meant a lot to us. We'd also love for you to subscribe. We'd love for you to rate. We'd love for you to review. Only if it's nice, though, obviously. If you've got something shitty to say.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. Didn't your mom ever teach you if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all?
Yeah, you bastard. Well, we have had a great time.
A great season.
And we're looking forward to number two.
Yeah. We got some really fun stuff coming up for you. You're going to really, really like it. Oh, man. We got some really good stuff.
We do. So
I really want to blow it. I'm not very good at keeping secrets. Actually, I'm pretty good at keeping secrets. But this is just exciting. So it's hard to keep it. But sources. My sources, thrilllist.com, BBC, The Telegraph. You got some stuff over there?
I have Boston.com, the Darwin Awards, weirdworm.com.
Ooh, maybe they're related to us.
I know. We should get in touch with them.
Yeah, and say, hey, and we're them. Counting worms. You're a weird worm.
Maybe we could join forces.
Yeah, maybe we could worm it out together. That'd be crazy. So anyway, we really hope to hear from you guys. If you have story ideas or you have things you'd like for us to cover, then make sure you reach out to us, countingwormspodcast@gmail. At Gmail. So anyway.
Until next year.
Oh, live big.
Rest in peace.
The worms are waiting.
Bye-bye.